I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome on in, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all having a tremendous day. By the way, a lot of coaching news coming down. It pretty much started last night, and we kind of figured out how this was going to play out. But according to Matt Norlander and others, Utah Valley coach, Stanford legend Mark Madsen has agreed in principle to return to the Bay Area, not to coach Stanford. He will take the Cal job. Why he would take the Cal job, I have no idea. That is the Siberia of college basketball right now.
Well, they were able to string together three wins last year.
Yes.
Or this most recent season.
They averaged about 3,100 fans a game. That's announced, by the way. Wyoming, which won like eight games, averaged 5,000 fans a game.
So, yeah, let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Why that job?
I think that if I were him, and again, Mark Madsen's listening right now, like, why the heck would I listen to that guy? And you'd be right. But I would, if he could bring back that team at UVU, he could run that thing back, win 25 games in that conference, and then have his pick of Stanford or any other job. Who knows? Maybe BYU's open at that point after their first year in the Big 12. So
instead,
I think there would be a lot better opportunities. But hey, you know what? He's from the Bay Area. I think he's got a lot of connections there. It's not Stanford. I think Stanford's really going to kick themselves for not firing their coach and hiring him. But there you go. So it appears that UVU is going to be in the coach searching business, as is Utah State, where it appears that the head coach of VCU will be taking the Penn State job, and according to multiple reports, that VCU will turn around and hire Ryan Odom, and Odom will be on his way to VCU.
Wait, there were other designs for Ryan Odom.
At South Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah, that I think, and again, this is me speculating, but I think that Ryan Odom all along knew that he was never going to take that South Florida job, that he was either going to hold out, slow play it as long as possible. Because this whole Penn State VCU situation had been rumored for the last week or so. And as soon as that, I think Ryan Odom thought to himself, and again, this is me speculating, that let me slow play this. I'll bring South Florida in play, and one of two things will happen. I'll either get hired by VCU, or I'm going to get a heck of a contract extension and a nice bump at Utah State. But I don't think he was ever really going to go to South Florida.
Help me understand what the intrigue is of Virginia Commonwealth University.
They are the best team in the Atlantic 10. It's essentially a basketball-only school. They've had trips to the Final Four. It's a good program and the best team in that conference, and they pay about $2 million a year.
Oh, so they're going to hit a $2 million mark for him.
I think it'd be in the 1.8 to $2 million range, probably.
How much of this is about money for him?
Look, let's be honest. We can all say it's not about the money, but it's all about the money.
What I'm asking is, if Utah State matched it, would he stay?
I don't think so, because here's the other element to it. That's where he grew up. Like, he's a Virginia guy. Not just a Southern guy. He's a Virginia guy. And, you know, North Carolina, Virginia, in particular Virginia, he's got a ton of ties there. His wife's family's from North Carolina. Like, it just makes a lot of sense from going to a place that he's got a lot of ties. I know he's got ties to the administration there at VCU. That one makes sense. South Florida never made sense to me. If you were to tell me Ryan Odom's leaving Utah State to go to South Florida, I'd be like, no, I'm not buying that. But as soon as you hear VCU, it's like, okay, that makes sense to me. I understand that one.
So I just remember a couple of things from watching that St. Mary's VCU game. St. Mary's knocked VCU out of the tournament, and they actually did it by quite a bit. But yeah. I remember watching some of that broadcast, because I did take VCU to advance past St. Mary's. And I was watching some of that broadcast, and they were talking about this year in particular for VCU being one of VCU's best years, wins-wise and talent-wise, that they've had in a lot of years.
Yeah.
Obviously, enough to get that coach promoted to Penn State, therefore vacating the job. And I've got to imagine that there's a couple things, whether it's the $2 million, which would be the number one factor, whether it's going back home, which would probably be my number two factor.
Yep.
My number three factor is, what does my talent look like? And according to that broadcast, and what I remember of it, was it was a lot of talent. They were very good. They got themselves to the NCAA tournament, but they were excited about the following year of talent that they've got there. So I've got to imagine he looked at it and thought, yeah, I can go win a Virginia Commonwealth University.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a lot of recruiting ties back there, knows the area really well. In fact, you know, honestly, it never really made a lot of sense, because he didn't bring any assistants that had ties to the western part of the United States. They were all of his assistants, all of his staff was all East Coast guys. Outside of Nate Dixon, who's his lead assistant, he did have some time at Wyoming, but there wasn't a lot of connections back west. And yet they still did well, and they still won 26 games last year and had a remarkable season. So overall, I think that it was this is something where he feels a little bit more comfortable, and I get it. I understand that one. It makes sense. I know there's going to be some cranky people, and I don't think it, you know, I was thinking about this last night, because my thought process was, wow, this could have been handled a lot better. But then I also thought, how do you handle this? Because honestly,
from what angle?
from leaving a job and taking another job, it's like a divorce. Like, it's always going to be messy. It's always going to be ugly. There's always going to be some hurt feelings. There's going to be some animosity. Everybody says that, you know, oh, it was amicable. Is it really? Like, everybody I talk to that's gone through a divorce never says it's amicable. Like, oh, yeah, no, it was great. It was fine. Went and, you know, split up our assets. Everything was cool. We're still best friends. I mean, you could try to say that, but for the most part, everybody I talk to that's been divorced,
there was a reason you hit the wall.
There's a reason you hit the wall. Somebody probably screwed up, or somebody did something stupid.
There's damage.
And everybody's trying to get whatever they can in the divorce. And the same thing with coaches that leave. It seems like it's always messy. It's the players and the fans that end up getting burnt in the whole thing, because they want to be loyal for the most part. They want to stick around. They want to build something. They've been told by a coach, hey, it's about family. It's about trust. It's about loyalty and all these buzzwords that coaches like to say. But is it really?
Well, what's interesting in all that, I've been doing this for 16 years on air, and I've had a lot of different relationships with a lot of different coaches that have made a lot of different decisions here in the state of Utah. And I've had conversations with, numerous amounts of coaches in regards to why they left or why they came.
Yeah.
Or why they left again or why they came back again. I've had plenty of conversations. And 99% of the time, as I'm sitting there talking to the person, I'm looking at them thinking, if the rest of public, the general public knew this, then they'd understand.
Yeah.
Almost in every case, when I had a conversation with the coach as to why you did what you did, why did you leave? Why did you move? Why didn't you? Why were you going to but didn't?
Yeah.
Like all the those different things, when you have those conversations with those coaches, and it typically brings it back to family. Now, family, one way or the other, whether it's the money I'm making to support my family, or it's where my family is from and I'm moving back to be with my family, or I was going to leave but could not leave my family, it typically comes back to family. And I always end up thinking, if people just looked at their picture and looked at from their shoes instead of from their blue color goggles or red color goggles or whatever the color goggles they've got on, they would totally understand.
Yeah.
And it makes sense to them.
And that's the thing, too. Like, we all have reasons. We all make tough decisions. You know, like, you know, you had tough decisions when we came at you in that, you know, and Randy Rogers takes you out to D's and says, hey, we want you to be a part of this thing. And I remember we were just talking here about in 2012 when, you know, I could have stayed at one station, but instead I stayed with the Jazz. And like, there's always those little moments in our lives where we have one or two of those events in our lives where we have to make really tough decisions. And you know, you sit down with a pad of paper and you do your pros and you do your cons and you try to list it out. But ultimately, there's never a way that you can do it without ticking people off. Like, somebody's going to be mad. Somebody's going to be upset. Somebody's going to get their heart broken. But at the end of the day, you just have to do what you think is best for you and your family. And, you know, I remember talking to a coach who left, and he brought up a really good point, too. He said, look, you know, I'm making good money now, and I'm going to make really good money at this next job, but I've got GAs, I've got position coaches where they're not making great money. And I'm getting a little bit of pressure from them, like, hey, we've had success, can we parlay this? Because I might be making $500,000, but they're making $60,000. And if we go take this job, they're going to go from 60 to, they're going to be making $300,000. And, you know, I might be going from 500 to 1.5, but, you know, and that'll impact my life in a nice way. But them going from 60,000 to 300,000, that's a huge life improvement. And I feel a little pressure to take care of them because they've supported me and what I've done. And I would like to reward them as well. So it's not just family, but it's your football family as well you want to take care of.
Well, and a lot of times in these negotiations too, Scotty, you're looking at your stability at the place you're at. And you're like, okay, we've done it.
Yeah.
We've won. Can we keep winning? What's on the horizon for us? Well, if I go to VCU, what's on the horizon for me there? Well, a 5-year guaranteed contract at X amount or whatever it is that gives you stability. And when you have stability as a head coach, you're able to offer stability to the people around you. When you don't have stability and you can't offer that to the people around you, it's hard to get the better people around you. When you can't tell them, we're here for 4 years minimum.
Yeah.
Or we're here for 5 years minimum. You know, when you were talking about my transition over to this network and us starting the Hanson Scotty show, I looked at it as a future thing. Like, how long could I do the show with Scotty? I knew we could do it for 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And I knew that that was the horizon. As long as we had the signal that you and I work hard enough and believe enough in this show, that we'd do it. And I felt like the stability was good. And I think that matters to coaches because that's what they want to provide for their family.
Yeah.
In the long run, we all just want to be able to provide for our family. And you got to do what you got to do. And you said, but you kind of went back on it, but you said, and maybe it could have been handled a little bit better, but you're right. What is the best way?
There's no good way.
So just talking about my own situation, because I'd rather do that. When the deal went down and when the move was made, there were a lot of different questions here and there from other people. And one of the questions was, why didn't you tell me? And you go back and you think about how tenuous, how fragile those moments and conversations are.
Yeah.
And it's like, I couldn't even tell my kids.
Yeah.
I told my wife, but she's one of the very few people in this world that I could trust. And there were moments there where there were three people in this world that knew that we were talking.
Yeah.
And that's just how it had to be until the announcement was made.
By the way, Clint's making fun of us. When you need to make an impression, go to D's. No, the reason you went there is because you thought nobody else would go there. And lo and behold, somebody did actually go show up. They thought, what's the one place we can go where nobody's going to see us, nobody's going to notice us having a conversation?
And in walks our promotional director. And I'm like, wow. And Randy goes, is that who I think it is? Like, yeah, I think it is. And he took the napkin away from me.
Yeah.
So give me that napkin back.
Yeah, let's not do this.
We're just having a breakfast here, a lovely breakfast. But that's just the world that we're in of growth and progression. And I know it's hard for UVU fans. I watched that game last night.
Yeah.
I was pumped. I sent out a tweet. I watched three, maybe four times more UVU basketball than I've watched combined in my 15 years on air. Amongst these NIT games and that SUU final that they had. And I just don't watch a lot of UVU basketball. But that's what Mark Madsen brings, some interest and excitement and entertainment. So you watch. And it's hard to lose him. And I understand why people would be a little bit chappy.
All right. So let me ask you this. What if you're a player on that team? And the day and age of not knowing if something's about to go down, that's long in the rearview mirror. So these guys are getting ready for an NIT semifinal. They're down in Vegas. They're all fired up. They're having fun. And all of a sudden, over the last couple of days, they see Twitter blowing up and saying, your coach is going to leave you. And you know that everybody can come back. I think it's different if you're a senior and you're graduating. Like, all right, well, I'm leaving. Coach is leaving. That's great. But if you're thinking, and you'd be hearing like, hey, you know how good we are this year? We're going to run this back next year. Everybody's going to be back, and we can make a run in the NCAA tournament. And all of a sudden, you see Twitter blowing up, your coach is leaving for Cal. Your coach is leaving for Cal. I'm not saying that's why they lost last night, but it certainly couldn't have helped.
So there's a lot of different things that I think of when you mention that. Sadly, very sadly, the very first thing I think of is I transfer and go with Coach Madsen.
Yeah, yep.
That's the first thing, because we had success under him. I trust him. I loved him. I loved the way he used me in his system. We had great success. Take me to Virginia Commonwealth University. Is there room on the bus with you? And that is a pressure point for universities, because if UVU is smart, they knew the second that that offer came in, and they're looking at it thinking, can we get to two? No, we can't. So when we lose him, what else are we losing?
Yeah.
Well, we're losing this staff. All right. How many players are tied to him? Well, I don't know, boss, but I know the guys love him. Okay. So do we lose two? Does he take three? The guys that have 1 year of eligibility, are they going to go make a run with the talent that they got at VCU? And that's at Utah State. That's at UVU.
Yep.
That's anywhere you lose these coaches nowadays.
Yep.
That's a large reason why if you lost Kyle Whittingham, not to retirement, but Kyle moved down the road, there's going to be a gigantic exodus of assistants and talent. So what does Utah got to do? They got to make sure that they extend and that they're ready to match and beat anything that comes to the table. It's the same with Kalani Sitake at BYU. Kalani's got a great future. He's put together an incredible staff. He is tied so tightly with those players, whether he wants to talk about it or those players want to talk about it or not, those players are tied to him. He's a player's coach.
Yep.
BYU knows if anybody comes to the table, they're going to have to match. Because you stand to lose more now as a university than you ever have in the past.
You can't tell me that Azeez Bendego can't play in the Pac-12 and play for Cal. He's already a dramatic impact over or improvement over what they've had at Cal. You can't tell me Trey Woodbury can't play at Cal in the Pac-12. Absolutely they can.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And so
both those guys last night were great.
Yeah.
And then there was another big man, another forward.
You got, you got Darthard, who's great, Harmon, who's great, Tim Fuller, who's great.
Fuller.
And all those guys could be back next year.
Fuller's got another year of eligibility?
Yeah, they all have an extra year of eligibility.
Okay, so then there's the conversation we got to have. What is the responsibility of a coach that's leaving a university in tampering or talking with talent to leave with them?
Honestly, your job as a coach is to win. And if you are coaching players who you know can help you win, then you do everything you can to tell them to come with you. And there's no rule. I mean, there's rules against it, but I mean, let's just look at Ryan Odom. Ryan Odom brought three players from UMBC with him. Like, these guys will, and you could, a player's going to call up the coach and say, hey, coach, are you leaving? Yeah, looks like it. My agent's still working out some things. Coach, I love you. Yeah, where are we going? And coach is like, hey, look, I can't talk to you about that. You've got to make your own decisions. Just know. Trey, I love you. Just know, Aziz, I love you. And you know you'll always have a place with me in my heart. Wink, wink.
Yeah,
you know,
that's all it takes.
That's all it takes, yeah.
Because you do want to hold some standard. You don't want to be a blubbery fool and call and be like,
yeah,
hey, I'm leaving for Cal or I'm leaving for VCU. You coming?
Yeah.
I thought you said you were invested in this, son. You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
But it's the, hey, wink, wink. You remember how we talked about always sticking together? Well, I'll always be here for you.
Yeah. You know, look, VCU, Ryan Odom would not be doing, you know, Ryan Odom's probably calling Stephen Ashworth, Max Schulga, saying, hey, look, you know what? Let's keep this thing rolling. We know what we can do together. Let's go.
Because the call then becomes as simple as me as a player calling coach and saying, hey, coach, if I come, do I got a scholarship?
Yeah.
And if he says yes, then it's, in a lot of cases, especially in the world of basketball, basketball feels a little bit more personal.
Yeah.
Between coach and player, but football, there are great connections. But sad to say it, you're not just losing a coach anymore.
Yeah.
You're losing talent.
Yeah.
And you're losing assistants.
It's like, imagine, you know, one of these players calling Coach Matt's. Well, I don't know. Actually, I think NIL, they don't have a, it's another thing working against Cal. They don't believe in NIL. But let's, just for the sake of argument, you're calling, like, coach, are you leaving? Yeah, yeah. Why are you leaving? Well, I'll tell you what, son. You know, one thing that's really important in this day and age is NIL. And, boy, they got a lot of NIL money out there that they're spending. You know, and we tried to do some things here, but we can't even compare to what they're doing. What, you say they got a good NIL program? Oh, yeah, man, that collective, they are handing money out right and left. Like, I can't imagine. If you were to hit the open market, I can't imagine the kind of money they throw at you. But, you know, that's... You know,
that's down the
that's
road,
all so. Hypothetical, you know.
That's nothing you need to worry about.
Yeah.
You're going to enjoy Logan.
Yeah, you keep going to class and keep working on those studies.
So then the question, you know, the question comes up, how do you stop the bleeding? Because we're losing two coaches out of this state that we have no right losing.
Well, I mean, you go three if you want to throw Todd Simon at Southern Utah.
That's right. You're losing two that I have watched closely
yep.
and know pretty well, and Todd Simon, who I have not talked with. But you and I have had a couple opportunities to talk with Coach Madsen. And, you know, you're losing guys that you have no right losing. And the question is, what can you do? What can you do?
Right now, nothing. You've got to invest in your program. You've got to invest in your coaching salaries. You got to get your collectives up to speed. That's all you can do.
Can you dig up an extra million to throw at Coach Odom and say, stay? And then say, okay, so matching VCU is not enough? What's it going to take?
Yeah.
And if he says, well, it can't be done, then I, as a front office, can say, we matched the offer. We attempted to retain and extend. And I could at least put that out there that we did what we could possibly do. Because as a fan, that's what I would want to hear.
Yeah. Yep.
I just want to know, Utah State, did you do your best? If there was the right president in place instead of a sitting lame duck, if there was an interim tag lifted off of an athletic director, would that have made a difference? Those are the things I want to know as a Utah State fan. Why did we sit around for so long? Why were these decisions not made? Because now you're losing a basketball coach that brought you to the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
So I've got a lot of questions as a fan that I would want answered. Did we do our very best to retain him? Because VCU feels like a slap in the face to me. I get it. I'm not a college basketball guy. I've heard of VCU multiple times. I know that they were a play-in winner. Was it 2016 or 2017 that made an Elite Eight run, maybe?
Yeah, I think Shaka Smart took him to the Final Four 1 year.
Yeah, so the VCU definitely put themselves on the map with that. But as a Utah State fan, I don't care about that. We're the Mountain West Conference.
Yeah.
We're the freaking Aggies.
Yeah, the Mountain West is heads and tails better than the Atlantic 10.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would think that we could find the money that we needed in order to retain our coach, if I'm a fan.
Yeah.
And I would be pretty salty about it. Mark Madsen, quite a different story. Quite a different story.
Yeah, it's hard to be in the WAC and compete with the Pac-12. The Mountain West should be able to compete with the A-10.
I will say both these men left to go back to where essentially where they're from.
Yeah. And sometimes it comes down to that.
Mark Mattson grew up in Walnut Creek, about 30 minutes away.
Look at you. California geography. Hello.
I'm embarrassed.
Awana Creek?
I've learned too much about UVU basketball.
What's the name of the place again?
Walnut Creek.
Walnut Creek?
Walnut.
Walnut. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Jake's joining us. We're live here at Tim Daly Mazda. Walnut Creek, have you heard of it?
Yes, absolutely.
Because you're a California guy, right?
I am a California guy. But that's up north.
Yeah.
Walnut Creek's up north.
I can tell by the product you use in your hair.
Some Aquanet.
I would do I would do anything to have that hairline.
I know, right?
It's going back slowly but surely. It's going back.
It is not.
I don't even. The power alleys aren't even there yet.
The power alleys.
You're hanging in there.
I love it. I love it.
I don't need you bringing down the best donuts I've ever tasted, though.
Isn't
I appreciate
great? They're
it.
They're great, aren't they?
Have you ever had two guys be so upset with you for bringing something so delicious?
I said last week I was going to do it, and they're here.
Lloyd Cole would tell you he's got diabetes, but we have too much integrity that we wouldn't lie about such a thing. We would never lie about
no,
such a thing.
No, just only your son drowning.
That was one time, and it was a joke.
You joked about your son drowning?
Okay, don't take it too far. Lloyd?
My goodness.
No, it pretty
hey,
much
you
is.
Did this.
I didn't say he drowned. I said he fell through the ice, and we're in a bad spot.
And we don't know if he's going to make it.
And to call 911.
And we don't know if he's going to make it.
I don't need.
You don't want to put that out there, bro.
Okay, but I realized that it wasn't the best thing to do. Okay, guys.
Goodness gracious.
So the other day, we're going to a remote at another place. It's crazy snow. Crazy, crazy snow. And Hans keeps telling me, like, I'm in a parking lot, and I'm driving, where and I'm seeing cars all up and down the road. And I'm just like, I got to get to the show. Got to get to the show. And I'm like, and so all of a sudden, Hans calls up, and you know, I put it on the car, and he's like, "Hey, buddy, I've been in an accident," and I'm like, "Are you serious?" is what I said. He goes, "No," and I just like click. I'm like, "I'm done. I don't want."
I'm a different person than I was then.
That was Friday.
That might have been Friday, but
I've changed.
I've learned a lot.
I've changed.
Hey, the reason we love being here, number one, Scotty and I just love you. I mean, we've built a great relationship with you over the years to the point where I'm ready to bring my wife's used car into you to look at a trade-in, to look at a new Mazda. You know, that's the kind of belief that I've got in what you guys are doing here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had you drive one last week.
Oh, geez. That was a mistake. That is the nicest car.
Was that the 50?
That's the 50.
That's the nicest car I think I might have ever sat in.
It's I love the 50. It's I mean, hands down, that's my favorite car. But Mazda's product is absolutely fantastic. I mean, like we talked about last week, it's the best kept secret in the car industry. And I'm trying to get it out there, so it's not the best kept secret anymore. People need to come down and just drive these cars because they're absolutely hands down the best car I've ever driven in.
Well, the one thing, and you've been doing this thing for a long time. You've been around a lot of different vehicles and brands and makes and models. And the thing that really jumped out to me is, you know, I got in an accident and it was getting fixed. And you said, hey, let me, you know, drive one of these Mazdas for a little bit. And I've absolutely loved driving it because it just blew me away with the quality of the ride that thing is. And it was a fun ride. And I didn't expect that from Mazda. Like, you definitely got to get this word out on how great these cars are.
Yeah, I mean, they got a bad rep back, you know, early 2000s. You know what I mean? There were a lot of rental cars and type of stuff like that. And they're just not that way anymore. They've completely revamped how they have done stuff since about 2009 and on. And it's absolutely, you got to come check it out. They're put together so much better. The ride is so much better. It's quiet. They have a lot of power. I mean, I'm telling you, they're amazing cars.
Come on down. Hang out with us. It's Tim Daly Mazda, and we've talked about the Tim Daly family forever. You got the forever warranty with these vehicles, too.
Absolutely, yeah. Anything bought at this lot, whether it's a Mazda, a new Mazda, or any used car, it obviously has a forever warranty on it. So, you know, come in, check it out. Anything that you get, you're covered forever. So it's such a great thing.
It really is, and it's free.
Free
charge.
It doesn't cost you anything.
Tim Daly Mazda, check out, again, all we ask you to do is come by If you don't know much about Mazdas, come by and take a test drive. That's it. That's all I'm asking you to do. And I think that vehicle is going to sell itself. It's Tim Daly, Mazda, Southtown, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Wherever you go, the Zone will be right there with you every step of the way. It's the all-new KSL Sports Zone.
I love it.
Where you can listen to The Zone wherever you may be.
Listen to me, this stuff is available everywhere.
It's your new home for streaming The Zone and getting all the latest news, insight, and analysis of the teams you can't live without. It's the all-new KSL Sports app. Available now wherever you shop for apps.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, 1236. We're live here at Tim Daly Mazda Southtown, 10785 Auto Mall Drive. Come on down here to Sandy, hanging out with us.
All right, let's go through those injuries one more time.
All right, hold on. Jazz and Spurs tonight. Remember, this is a San Antonio team that is hell-bent on losing. 19-56 on the season. So the Jazz know that
current four-game losing streak.
They got to work tonight to make sure they lose this game. So, as you would expect, Colin Sexton out, Jordan Clarkson out, Rudy Gay out, Lauri Markkanen, left-hand contusion, out. Simone Fontecchio will be available.
So Walker Kessler?
Walker Kessler, sadly, is available.
They probably still win.
I think they do. It's at San Antonio, but yeah.
My guess is if you dressed Simone Fontecchio and Walker Kessler and nobody else, just 2-on-5.
Yeah.
You're still going to end up winning that game.
Yep. By the way, Houston, San Antonio, and Detroit are the three teams with the worst records in the NBA and will remain the three teams with the worst record in the NBA.
Is there no way that that changes?
No.
Okay, then that actually is interesting because doesn't matter if you're the number one. It doesn't matter if you're the number two. It doesn't matter if you're the number three.
You have the same chance.
You just got to be one of the bottom three.
Yeah, like, look, Detroit's got 16 wins, Houston 18, San Antonio 19. The next worst team is Charlotte with 25. So you are guaranteed to be in that top three and have the equal chance at number one. I'm telling you right now, Victor Wembanyama next year will be playing for the San Antonio Spurs.
Somehow.
It is going to happen. NBA is like, hey, look, they've had David Robinson, they've had Duncan. You know what? Greg Popovich and Victor, that's a nice duo. That's a great storyline. So let's make that happen. You don't want to send them to Houston. You certainly don't want to send them to Detroit. Nobody cares about Detroit. Nobody cares about Houston. San Antonio, that's a storyline. Put the best player with a Hall of Fame coach.
The way I kind of understand it with the lottery, those bottom three records make up about 45% of the chance of landing the number one overall pick.
Correct.
But it is equal chance amongst those three.
No, here's how the lottery balls really work. Okay, there is a conference room somewhere in New York. Adam Silver and NBA executives talk about what will give us the best storylines next year with Victor. Where can we place him that will bring the most amount of attention? Oh, it'd be the Lakers. Okay, Bob, the Lakers don't have a first-round pick. You're fired. Get out. You can't help me. You got to know the situation. I know we'd like to put him with the Lakers, but he's not. The Lakers don't have a first-round pick, so get out of here with that idea. I don't know. What about San Antonio? Okay, yes, San Antonio, because it's more interesting than Detroit. It's certainly more interesting than anywhere Houston. And plus, Houston has more strip clubs per capita than anywhere else in the country. We don't want that guy to go down a bad path, so let's send him to San Antonio, where, as Charles Barkley said, the ugliest women on the planet live.
He did.
He did say that.
Yeah. I think he called
and by
them,
the way, that's completely inaccurate.
Did he call him ugly or heavy?
I think he said both, actually.
I think he did say big and ugly.
Yeah.
Which I'm mortified that he
horrified
did.
And do not condone any of those statements.
No.
Nope.
Oh, man. I don't know what I could do to try to ease the pain of the Jazz fan if that happens. Where they've seen it too many times. And San Antonio as a small market team has had too much success. Jazz fans don't need that in their lives again. Like, they don't need that type of pain.
Yeah.
But I could definitely see it happening. And I will
By
tell
the
you,
way, I don't believe that it's that. I'm joking. But I'm just saying, don't be surprised when that happens.
Well, and don't be surprised when San Antonio goes to match what's injured or out for the Utah Jazz in an effort to make sure nothing's on the court to compete. Yeah. Not that San Antonio is going to fall out of the bottom three. That was the whole goal, just lock up a bottom three.
Yeah. Yep.
San Antonio's done it. So maybe, can they afford a win?
They could. It wouldn't hurt them any.
So
you have the same odds as number two and number one. So, you know, as long as you're locked into three, it doesn't hurt you one way or another.
So maybe now if you're San Antonio, you take a look at some of the young pieces and you coach them up really hard and you unleash them and see what you can get out of them.
Mark this, Lloyd. I'm telling you, when San Antonio wins the lottery, we need to go back and revisit this conversation.
What's worst case scenario? Out of those three teams, what's worst case scenario winning that lottery? Is it San Antonio?
For worst case for who?
For the Jazz fans.
Oh, yeah, Jazz fans will lose their mind. Worst case for the NBA ends up in Detroit. Like,
yeah.
Congratulations, Detroit. You have
another person to waste.
Exactly. Like, and if I'm Victor, I'm like, I don't want to go there.
You and I have had made bets in the past with who lasts longer, Bill Belichick or Greg Popovich. And it feels like Popovich is on his way out. But then there's a part of me that feels like if he gets a Victor Wembanyama, he's going to dig his feet in and say, you know what? Let's go win another one.
I think we can make this work for a couple more years.
Don't you think that would
reinvigorate
a guy that feels like he was at the end of his career?
And if they don't get, let's say they fall and two teams hop above him and they fall to like four or five, then he's going to be like, I need to spend more time with my family. I need to spend more time with my grandkids.
I guarantee he's got his eye on two names.
Yep.
And if he gets one of the two, Greg Popovich shall rise again. If he doesn't, well, we've been planning this for a long time. We're going to start an early vacation here.
Yeah, you know, I just, it's time. I always knew that I would know when it was time, and it's time.
It is time, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Greg Popovich is 74. He will be 75 this coming January.
Man, that's old.
He will be 75 years old.
That's really old. What? You're not 75? Yeah, but 75, like, you need to be enjoying life. You need to be playing shuffleboard on a cruise ship somewhere. You should not be running an NBA team anymore.
One of our very close friends brings up a good point. In Coach Pop's life right now, coaching's pretty much all he's got. I forgot that his wife had passed. And really, basketball's all he's really got. And that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know if he's got kids. I don't know if he's got grandkids, but I got to think there's other things to be doing. Look, I love what we do, Hans. We were joking with a young man who came in. He's like, oh, I'd love to do what you guys do. And we're like, oh, it sucks. It's horrible.
It's hell on wheels.
This is the awful. No, we are like, this is like, we hit the lottery when it comes to jobs.
Yeah.
I am more than happy to admit it. And I want to do this for a long time. I don't want to be doing this when I'm 75.
No, that would be tough. That would be tough. Tough for us and the listener.
I mean, a bunch of codgers talking about in the 80s. You're like, you know, like, I don't know if we can do the 80s movie bracket 30 years from now.
I remember when Michael Jackson was a big up-and-coming star.
When Aunt Becky was in Rad. Oh, my gosh, it was great.
I'll bet you don't remember when Michael Jackson was a part of the Jackson 5, do you? Well, I do. Yeah, that's not happening. But I guess for Coach Pop, man, 74, still doing it. Yeah. But you know, not only would he love it getting Victor or getting Scoot, you know those guys would love it if they have any idea what kind of coach he is, what kind of teacher he is, and if they've got some thick skin that they can endure the old school coach that has probably adopted a lot of the new school techniques.
Yeah.
They're going to have some thick skin, and they're going to want to be coached hard. But if they know what's good for them, they would be thrilled to look at what he's done with number one draft picks.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Take a break. What you may have missed coming up next right here on The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
We're joined now by current Jazz assistant coach and former star of the 1998 University of Utah men's basketball team, Alex Jensen. When you see San Diego State or Miami or Florida Atlantic get into the Final Four for the first time and you see the wild celebration, I imagine you are transported 25 years instantly. Is that true?
For the most part, as time goes on, I get further and further from the college team. I still have quite a few friends there, but yeah, the memories often come back, and it was a great time. The highest highs and the lowest lows at the same time. It was a special group, and nobody wanted to be the guy to let everybody else down.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Chevrolet. Proudly serving Utah since 1926. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show? Every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Well, this is awkward.
Yeah, it is. All right, let's get to it. Time for another edition of what you may have missed right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. A lot going on. Jazz in action coming up later on tonight. We got spring ball. Big weekend coming up for BYU. All kinds of good stuff going down.
Yeah, I was up at the University of Utah spring ball practice yesterday. What we were able to be at, and had an opportunity to catch up with some coaches. So we'll talk a little bit about that coming up a little bit later. But we mentioned Mark Madsen is looking like he'll be taking the Cal job and leaving UVU. And I just wanted to mention that game last night against UAB because it was one of the more entertaining games I've watched all season. NIT, NCAA tournament, it really didn't matter. I know it was a Final Four game and an opportunity to jump into that championship. But that game went to overtime, and it had it all. It had all the storylines. It had a last-second heave. Now, I thought that – did you watch the end of that thing?
Yeah.
I thought the ending scenario was a fantastic example of coaching in basketball with the make or miss on the second free throw. I actually think that they approached it to make it. I think he just left it short.
Yeah, I agree.
So in that moment, what do you want? I like the miss more
like
than the miss.
Yeah. And I think that you can practice that enough to, and guys are good enough shooters, they should be able to have that thing go off the right way. Whether it's the back of the iron, whether it's hard off the front of the iron, there's some things you can do to try to give yourself a good opportunity there.
And that one came off the front of the iron, and I can't remember which UVU player grabbed it and hurled it. But in that moment, it was a two-point lead for UAB. And if by chance you hurling that ball the length of the court finds the basket, then you get the win. On the flip side, if you knock down the second free throw, you go up by three. They get the ball on the inbounds. No timeout. They get the ball in the inbounds, and then you're running everybody deep and hoping for the deep ball touch shot that would have scored to tie it. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it was a interesting scenario the way it ended up, but it was extremely entertaining. UVU played really well, good enough to get themselves into overtime. Fought back from, I want to say, an 8-point deficit maybe in 2-3 minutes left. And got themselves back in that game.
One thing, and I don't know what UVU is going to look like next year with Mark Madsen looking like he has accepted the job at Cal. But that is, there's just some teams that just have a certain likability, and they're just fun to watch. And you can't, I don't care if you don't like UVU, you don't know anything about UVU. If you just turned that team on and watched them over this last stretch, you can't say that team wasn't the most entertaining team to watch in the state of Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And I call Utah State games, but in just from a sheer entertainment value, that team was pure entertainment.
They were.
How they play, the style they play, just incredible.
And they kind of had all the weapons across the board.
Yeah.
From, is it Fandango?
Yeah, Bandango.
Bandango to just across the board. Guards, forwards,
yep.
They had the talent that they needed, and they were great.
They got after it.
So where do you stand on the argument or the conversation of, what would you rather have? An NIT championship?
Oh, NCAA.
Well, let me paint this.
One game versus six?
You are a play-in team.
Yeah.
So you're first round, but you're a play-in and you lose.
Yeah.
Or the NIT championship?
NCAA.
What brings you more money?
Oh, NCAA by far.
So you, in that first round, which is the play-in round to even get into the bracket, they still get a cut?
They still get a share. Like, there's a lot of Jerry Bovee used to tell me all this all the time when he was at Weber State. When they would get into the tournament, he would pray that they would get in that first that play-in game, because that's a game versus another 16 seed that you can win, and that gives you – it counts the same. Whether you win in the national championship game or you win a 16 versus 16, it's the same play. It's the same share in the NCAA tournament.
Jeez.
And so
that's a lot more money.
Yeah. I mean, that's it's a ton of money.
For some reason, during that entire game, I pictured me, you, and Lloyd disguising our face maybe with dark glasses and hanging outside of the Orleans with a sign that said, shame on you, NIT, because of the Orleans decision.
Orleans. Now, let's be honest. There's a lot of guys in trench coats and dark glasses that are at the Orleans.
Yeah.
Because it brings out the worst of everybody.
We'd fit in there, but then we'd have the shame on you sign.
Yeah.
And we'd stand in
unfair labor practices.
Yes.
This should be in Madison Square Garden.
Shame on you, NIT.
Yeah.
What a shame.
Oh, the trench coats. See, I thought you were making a Legionnaire disease joke there.
Oh, yeah. That could be true. You go from Madison Square Garden to not just Vegas, but the Orleans in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. You're a needle prick away from hepatitis.
Yeah.
That's a bad place to be.
I'm pretty sure at the Orleans, I think, like, bodies have been found underneath mattresses there.
I'm just telling you, it is not a good area of Vegas.
No.
It continues to just get worse.
We used to have a trade agreement with the Orleans where we would, like, for every conference tournament, media day, whatever, we would always, because they were like, you mean you'll talk about us on the radio? Yeah. How many rooms you want? We'll give you 15. If you want to be in one room one night and have a completely new room the next night, you can do that too. Like, however rooms you want. And there was a guy that was on staff that took his wife down. And I said, hey, you know, here's your room confirmation numbers. And he walked in with his wife and he said, we're not staying here. And he instead paid out of his own pocket to go somewhere else. And I'm going to let you guess as to who that was.
Did he buy two meals?
No.
Oh.
No. he's not. He is not consistently on the radio anymore.
He didn't buy two entrees and try to expense them.
No.
Yeah, that would have made sense. That would have made sense. For sure.
It's like, I'm like, hey, it's free. I don't care. But, I'm not staying here.
You know, when the BYU to the Big 12 announcement came down, there were a lot of things to be excited about. The first thing that came to my mind was, you never have to play another conference game in Orleans ever again. And good for you. That's a win.
Yeah.
That might be the best thing about this Big 12 deal. The BYU never has to play in the Orleans again. And BYU fans don't have to subject themselves to the Orleans ever again.
By the way, UVU has announced that that Mark Mattson is leaving. So it is now official. Todd Phillips will serve as the program's interim head coach, while a national search will be conducted for the next head coach.
And by the way, I do have the right to speak on the Orleans because I played in the Orleans.
Yes, you did. A lot of,
the Vegas Gladiators.
And that's where you'd be kicking extra points up against a wall, right?
Yeah, and yes, exactly. The ball kick. And that's where I had to see Sean King again.
After the bowl game, huh?
After the bowl game, came face to face with Sean King.
I bet Sean was very not entitled at all playing in the Arena League.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure he was really down to earth.
Open to teammates and
yeah.
All negotiation.
I could see that.
And Lloyd, if you play the drop, you know what's interesting about him. I will come back to the studio and hurt you.
I just want you to go to break.
All right.
Oh, hey, come on.
Well, we still got to talk to Jake. Jake's hanging out with us. We're live here at Tim Daly Mazda. Come on by, hang out with us. How you doing, man?
Good, brother. We got a little friend on the show.
Rev, right, what's up?
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Tuned in and heard a little something about donuts.
Oh.
And if you look at me, I don't miss many opportunities to share a donut with some friends.
See, sometimes I let my ego get in the way, and I'm like, he came to see us. That's awesome.
It was about the donuts.
No, it's good to see you guys. It's been a long time.
Yeah, man, it's good to see you.
Well, let's talk about these Mazdas, man. They're priced to move. These new vehicles, you can get 0% financing on
these.
Yeah, 0%,
60 months right now on, you know, Mazdas. And, you know, we got a whole bunch in stock. We got to sell 25 more by Friday night, the end of the month. It's Mazda's fiscal year end, so we have until Friday night to get rid of 25 more Mazdas. So if I hit that goal of 25, first come, first serve is going to get the best deals. You know what I mean? I'm trying to blow these things out. Now more than ever, come see me. I'll definitely make sure you're taken care of.
So everybody thinks like, this, you know, December 31st. But people don't realize your calendar is actually March 31st.
Correct. Yeah, with Mazda, it's March 31st. Absolutely.
I didn't know if it was 30 or 31 in March. But
31st. Yeah.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, so come down here. I'll definitely take care of you. We've got to blow these things out. I got to hit this goal. And our, you know, that's your guys' benefit to come down and check it out.
How big is the test drive thing nowadays? Do people typically have the specs and all of their interests in a car? Or people really come out with an open mind?
Yes and yes. The Mazda buyers know exactly what they're getting into before they even come. People that haven't driven a Mazda still do their research really well before they even come. It's you know, absolutely. They know that's why we got to make sure that we're on top of our game here to make sure that we're able to give you guys the right information and you know what's going on with the Mazdas.
All right, so if somebody comes in here and they got their tax refund, they got $2,000 for a down payment. You're going to double that back.
I'm going to double that down. I'm going to double that down payment. Absolutely. So instead of two, you got four.
Wow.
Right? And so that's definitely going to help you out as well. You know what I mean? To get you into a payment range that's more affordable for you as well. You know, obviously we know rates are high right now, but you come down and take advantage of some of these new cars and you got 0%. You got fantastic leases right now with basically almost 0% you're paying on those. You know what I mean? Doubling your down payment. There's so many different things that we could do. We just got to get you down here so you can see it.
Double the down payment.
That's right.
That's something that people really, because people are getting some tax returns back and
absolutely
people have a little bit more money than maybe they did. You can come in and double that down payment.
Absolutely.
Save you a ton of money. Come on down here. You'll even be able to hang out with Riv, the legend, for a
legend
moment.
Riverboat.
Let's go. Come on.
Just don't bring up the, I don't want to hear about the Chiefs. No chief talk.
Yeah, we haven't talked since the Super Bowl. We're going to have that conversation.
And I was trying to push that conversation out a while too.
I don't want to be a wedge between this friendship. But he's mentioned like three times. He's seen you at the grocery store four or five times.
And he just walks the other way.
I just want to talk to him about a rebuilding year for the Chiefs. That's what I want to talk about.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm sure. Rebuilding. All right. Hans and Scotty, come on down here. Tim Daly, Mazda, 10785 South Automall Drive, right here on The Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.